Tonight we're going to talk about adultery in the heart. 2 weeks ago we discussed how one can be sexually deviant outwardly, went through many different categories, but today we're going to talk about the heart, lust. And to give an example, there is a counselor that I know who a few years ago had to counsel an older gentleman because whenever he would go out in public with his wife would catch him looking at other women. And it happened when they went to the grocery store. It happened when they would go to out to eat, when they were maybe walking in the park. He would always give a second look, and it was obvious, and appropriately, it caused his wife to be frustrated and angry. And he came to this counselor, this biblical counselor, to get help done dealing with lust in the heart. Now, he wasn't doing anything that was illegal by the government's standards, but he was sinning. He was lusting. There's no "you can look but not touch" policy in the Bible, but the heart of the matter is that a heart that lusts is a heart that is sinning. So we need to not just get to the branches of and try to cut them off, the bad weeds, but we must get to the root, because we can maybe not be into pornography. We can be faithful to our spouses. We haven't had any type of adulterous affair, and yet our hearts are lusting and longing after those who are not ours. So we're going to look at this question. Does God forbid nothing else but actual adultery and other external acts of sexual sin? So is it just, well, you can't do external acts, but it doesn't matter what is going on inside? And the answer is no. Since our bodies and our souls are temples of the Holy Spirit, God will have us keep both in purity and holiness. Therefore, deeds, gestures, words, thoughts, filthy lusts, and whatever entices us to these are all forbidden. So first, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20 is in the context of why we shouldn't come together with another person who is not our spouse. And verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Now the primary application here is, you know, do not commit sexual sin with another. But there's another application. We are to glorify God in our body. Our body is composed by a mind. The thoughts that go through our mind, the thoughts that we are meditating upon, the images that our eyes we are setting forth before to enter in and to affect us. This is our body too, that we are to glorify God. It's not just our sexual organs. The things we hear and the words we speak, we should use all of our being to glorify God, because we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is indwelt in us. The Holy Spirit has set us apart. We are holy because God has made us holy by the righteousness of Christ. He has set us apart for service to Him. So we must take this seriously. So what are we to do since we have a body that is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We are to flee all lusts. Now Exodus 20 verse 17, this is the 10th commandment, says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife." This word can also be translated for covet as desire, and desire is lust. That I shouldn't lust, long for, and desire not only my neighbor's house, but my neighbor's wife. And we are fooling ourselves if we think we can hide this from God. Well, I only know. No. Remember when God was going to replace Saul as the first king? And in 1 Samuel 16, he sent Samuel to go find the next king. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So maybe our coworkers, our friends, even our spouse thinks we are morally pure in this area, but if we have a heart that is lusting, we cannot fool God. God knows, our hearts are open to Him, so we can't think that we can hide any sins of this nature from God. Of course, Matthew 5, 27 to 28, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And that word lustful intent means to have a strong desire to have what belongs to someone else, to engage in an activity which is morally wrong, to have lust, evil desire. Now notice, looking at another woman in general doesn't break this teaching. It's doing so with lustful intent, that she is pleasing or he is pleasing, and I desire to have this person. I'm longing, I'm lusting. I'm saying I'll find contentment in that person who is not my own. And so what we're getting at is that the heart is the heart of the issue. And that's why Mark 7, 20 to 23 says, "What comes out of person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person." And the heart is dealing with the immaterial side of man. You know, what our desires are, what our values are, what we are longing for, what our goals are. And if we are having unbiblical, if we're having unholy thoughts, unholy desires, unholy goals, then that's going to manifest itself in our actions. We may be able to think we are hiding it, but that's not true. So we need to flee these lusts. We need to turn from these lusts. This also may require for us to remove temptations. We are bombarded with the opportunity of temptations in our world, and we need to say no, we need to take a stand. Job 31:1. Job says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin?" He's saying, I've made a covenant that I will only look upon that which is good. I will not covet. I will not long for a virgin to be mine, because I am the Lord's. John Gill, the Baptist minister, said, "Not to look upon a woman and wantonly gaze at her beauty, lest his heart should be drawn thereby to lust after her. For the eyes are inlets to many sins, and particularly to uncleanness, of which there have been many instances, both in bad men and good men." So we have to understand what we are taking in through our eyes has an effect. Are we, with what we are viewing, causing ourselves to have temptations that we don't need to have more of? It's one thing to have to drive down, let's say, Baltimore, and there's some sort of ad up, and you're like, oh. There's another thing to be choosing to watch something and seeing stuff and then not turning the channel or going to a different YouTube page. Isaiah 33, 15 and 16 talks about those, that the characteristics of those who will dwell with the Lord. And it says here that he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who despises the gain of oppressors, who shakes his hands lest they hold a bribe, who stops his ears from hearing bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from looking on evil. That this is the characteristic, that we hate sin, we hate evil, and we love God and we love holiness, that we don't want to hear the plans of bloodshed, and we don't want to look on and gaze at evil. And of course, Psalm 119:9 about removing temptation. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And the way we guard it according to our word is by memorizing the word, meditating upon the word. And what we're going to get to here in a minute, we just don't flee lustful thoughts. We don't just remove temptations, but we replace lustful thoughts with pleasing thoughts. We replace lustful desires with holy desires. We meditate upon the Lord and what the Lord has done and the glory and beauty of Jesus Christ. And we think about holiness and purity and serving God instead of these thoughts. Let me give an example here of someone who was acting hypocritically. Knew a man who boasted for many years of being a one-woman man, that he only had one girlfriend, that he only had been married to this one wife. He had never known another woman, and he boasted to others that she was his only one and was very proud of it. But yet, for all those years, he was addicted to pornography. Now, had he ever physically been with another woman? No. Has his heart longed for and committed adultery with another woman? Yes. And so we have to be careful that we do not fool ourselves, that we do not become hypocrites, that we have a lower standard of what holiness, of what God is calling us to and empowers us to do by the Holy Spirit, than what God has said. So let's move on to some applications here, having talked about this. First, to those who are unrepentant in this sin, fear God. You cannot hide your heart. In our day and age where you have a smartphone and you can look up all kinds of ungodly things, it can do so from the convenience of your home. You know, back in the day, you used to have to go to a dirty bookstore to be able to buy things. And now you can just do it there and no one will ever know. Except for God. God knows. Or you have coworkers and there's someone who's very attractive and you give them the second look all the time. Or during summer season and you enjoy seeing people who are not as clothed because of the lack of clothing due to the heat. This is a warning to you that the desires of your heart and the thoughts that you are having in your mind are exposed before God and you can't hide from it. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. What may happen is God will let you over to your lustful heart, and what was originally just you viewing what you shouldn't have viewed now turns into real adultery, where you do things that you shouldn't do, where you are with another person, someone who's not your spouse. And so this is a call to you to heed God's warning, to stop pretending that God does not see, and to fear the Lord and turn while there is time. The second, to those who are repentant and who are sorrowful over their sin and who do not want to have this be a part of their lives, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Now, you don't clean up your heart and come to Jesus Christ. You come to Jesus Christ and there's forgiveness. Psalm 130, 1 through 4 says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? All of us are guilty of doing this. I mean, if God showed us all the times we lusted in our hearts over the course of our lives, who would be able to stand? Oh, none of us. But there's hope in verse 4. But with you, there's forgiveness that you may be feared. There's forgiveness for lusting in your heart. There's forgiveness for adultery. There's forgiveness for any of these sins to the one who turns to the Lord and comes to Him. He is merciful. He is gracious. And He will forgive. And through His righteousness, He cleanses and makes you holier than you've ever thought you were. The third person I want to talk to is those who are Christians, those who are believers. We need to be on guard for this temptation. Especially when we think about how many, at least professing Christians, have, and those in ministry, have drug the name of Christ through the mud because of sexual morality. Remember the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Like, oh Lord, please guard me from temptation. Please guard me from these opportunities to lust. And one of the things we can do is we can avoid places that unnecessarily expose the flesh. Of course, beaches can be a terrible place to go, depending upon the lack of clothing people wear. Of course, this means we shouldn't go to strip clubs. And the Bible has nowhere where it says, thou shalt not go to a strip club, but the application would be, we shouldn't go because of what goes on there. We even have to be on guard over which checkout line we should go through at the store because of the magazines that are there. Or no, I need to be like a horse in the Kentucky Derby and put my blinders on and just go through pretty fast. Thankfully, the self-checkout can help with that. Or, as I'm finding out, maybe your neighbors. Last week, in the front yard, and the front yard of my neighbor looks directly from our kitchen dining room table, and the girl that's probably, I don't know, 8 or 9, had a two-piece swimsuit on in the front yard. And my son's there, who's 4. I'm like, I don't want him watching this. And then you go into our kitchen, and the backyard that butts up to ours, the people there decide to put up a pool, and so they get in and out of the pool. So you have to be on guard there, especially when it's the adults. There's always temptations that are around us. We also need to avoid watching shows or events that could lead to lust, whether it's movies or YouTube videos. Carissa and I used to watch people from America used to travel around all the time, the world. Nate and Kara. And, you know, for the most part, the content was great, except she was always in a bathing suit. Like, well, I liked where they were going, but it was just, no, we can't watch this. Interesting enough, we're seeing modesty battles going on at the Olympics. Did you know that the German gymnastics team has decided to wear a unitard instead of a leotard in order to fight sexualization in gymnastics? And so the difference is that they're not having their legs exposed from the hip all the way down to their feet. They're having their whole body covered, except it's still really tight. But even the Olympics, I mean, you see what the track and field people wear, what the swimmers wear, and then the gymnastics. It's like that. We need to guard our hearts, or even the volleyball team. So we need to be on guard for what we are indulging, what we're putting in our eyes, because it does affect us. Sometimes as adults we say, well, I'm an adult, it's okay. Instead of saying, I'm a fallible man. I need to be on guard. So we need to remember the seriousness of this sin and not downplay it. Because Ephesians 5:3 says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. You must understand that as saints of the living God, set aside to love Him and serve Him, this is not fitting behavior. We can't just say, no, 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 I haven't committed adultery. No, 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 I'm not doing homosexual acts. No, no, no. No, those things, while are certainly sin, we must see that sexual immorality in the heart, we must take up and be on guard. Remember 1 Corinthians 6:20 that we read earlier, that Christ bought you to live a holy life. That is our part of our calling, to grow more and more in the sanctification, the likeness of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing that Jesus, with a human body, but the God-man, lived and walked and never lusted. Never did a second glance. Never dreamt of someone and have inappropriate thoughts. And you may say, well, and how are we supposed to do that in this 21st century age? Remember, you have the power, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in you. You are not under the bondage of sin. Sin is not your slave master. Christ has set you free. The Spirit of the living God is in you. You can say no to sexual lust. You can say no to looking at things you shouldn't look at. You can say no to the second look. And by God's grace, you can grow in obedience and faithfulness to the Lord. So if we're to put off sinful lust, what are we to put on? Well, we're to put on holy thoughts. We're to meditate and dwell not on these images, but on things that are good. And a great verse for this is Philippians 4:8. After talking about anxiety and praying and trusting in God, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." If we're thinking about what is honorable, just, lovely, good, and true, and we have a temptation come, then we can say no and go back to thinking about what is good, honorable, just, and true. And of course, the person who meets all of this is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're dwelling on who Christ is, if we're dwelling on what He has done and accomplished in living the sinless life and always obeying the Father and performing all these wonderful miracles and His teaching, if we are outside and we're glorifying in the creation that He has made, then we're going to be prepared to take those thoughts captive. And then when we are tempted, we say, no, 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 I cannot go down that road. I can't go down that path. I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and this is not pleasing to the Lord, and I want to please the Lord. And so I'm going to take that away. I'm going to think about God and His holiness and His righteousness and goodness. I want to think about how He has delivered me from sin. I want to think about His death, burial, and resurrection and the promises and hope that I have in Him. These are wonderful things. And you see, when we're thinking about, when we're meditating upon, when we are desiring things that are good, lovely, true, pure, commendable, excellent, then what naturally flows is that we're going to live lives that are more and more in keeping with God's ways. And we're not going to embrace, fuel, and have it become an inferno of sin. Because at the first appearance of a spark, we're going to take the extinguisher of God's Word and blow it out and go to the things that are good and right and holy and just. So in a day and age where we are bombarded with people dressing inappropriately, where we have advertisements that are everywhere, where we have phones that have access to so much wicked material, where people are introducing and promoting pornography use among children and saying this is right, this is good, this is natural, we have to be on guard and say, no, this is poison for the soul. It will corrupt, it will destroy, it will ruin, and ultimately, it will cause people to have their demise be that of eternal fire. So, by God's grace and for His glory, Let's put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. Amen.